helpful if you had that passage open. Matthew chapter 9 on page 974 of the Church Bibles. Let's pray together before we look at these words. Lord God, would you grant us more of your Spirit that we might see as you see and respond with compassion. Amen. Well, I was talking to someone last week who used to hold an HGV, a lorry driving license, but had let it lapse. However, in the light of recent news, they were taking it up again. They were expecting to earn the same amount of money per hour as they were earning per day in their current job. The workers are few. Today we'll see Jesus respond to a harvest field work that needs to be done by giving the disciples an opportunity to take part in his own mission. Jesus' compassion, his solution to reaching people with the good news of the kingdom. Because we move now in this section of Matthew's gospel from teaching and from signs of authority that we saw last week to commissioning the disciples and seeing the message of the kingdom multiply. So look down with me at verse 35 of chapter 9. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness. Now, back in Matthew chapter 4, right at the start of Jesus' ministry, Matthew has recorded in chapter 4, verse 23, listen, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and illness among the people. Sound familiar? Teaching, proclaiming, healing. Teaching, proclaiming, healing. This is the pattern of Jesus' ministry, his work on earth, neither exclusively about filling people's heads or hearts, nor only solving their physical needs. Jesus is in the business of making a difference to the whole person. He combines concern for understanding about God's truth, announcing a new kingdom that asks people to respond to it, with showing signs of the future kingdom by bringing healing into people's experience of life. Perhaps you think that Christianity is all about thinking the right things or maybe behaving the right way. The example of Jesus gives us an holistic picture of what it is to walk in the way of the new kingdom. There is a message to respond to. Jesus asks people to follow him. There are truths to be shared. God's pattern for our flourishing. And there is healing, not always immediate now, but promised in the fullness of a new heaven and new earth. Jesus is going about his ministry, and he sees that there is a really big task ahead. I wonder if you sometimes feel that there is just too much on your to-do list. That the project or the task that you would think would take a certain amount of time or energy seems to encroach on every waking minute. Or perhaps you'd plan to climb a mountain and you're already tired and you realize you're not even halfway up yet. Jesus looks at a big task in verse 36, if you look down, as he sees not just with literal sight, but with spiritual sight. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus is moved. He feels deeply. The original has that sense of from your guts, from your bowels, you feel it. We might prefer his heart is moved. It's slightly more polite. The religious leaders of the day, rather than helping the people, had hindered them finding God. They had placed burdens on the people's shoulders. They had treated them with distaste and contempt. And the sheep are left to fend for themselves. But Jesus has compassion on them. He is moved. He recognizes that they need rescue, they need guidance, they need hope. So how to solve the problem? What might we expect Jesus to do? Maybe he's going to announce some more dates for his tour of the local area. Maybe he's going to be preaching, proclaiming healing 24/7, 365. Well, no. Look at his response in verses 37 and 38. He simply states the problem and the first step in addressing it. He says to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Sisters and brothers, we are to pray to the Lord of the harvest. And the beginning of the next chapter suggests that we may also be, in part, the answer to that prayer. What is the focus of the things that we pray for, that you pray for day by day, week by week? Perhaps as we remember our families, our friends, our colleagues. Are we praying that they would be happy and healthy? That's not a bad thing to pray for. But are we praying that they would come to know Jesus' saving love for themselves? An even better thing to pray for. Prayer is not just best wishes with a kind of Christian veneer on the top. It is to speak to God about shaping our hearts and the lives of others into his ways in which we flourish and we are known and we are loved. The prayer Jesus asks for is about the harvest field. What do you think of as you look around at the community around us? Do we think, actually, they're doing all right? Most people seem happy. Tidy gardens, nice houses. They probably aren't that interested in faith in Jesus, are they? Jesus looks and sees a harvest field. What do you see? In response to his vision of the people in their need, Jesus doesn't continue on in his solo ministry, but he commissions others to spread the good news of the kingdom, a new way of living, a new way of relating to God, and a promise of eternal life. There are a couple of things to notice here in chapter 10 and be challenged by. Whilst remembering that we are not apostles, we are disciples, we are followers of Jesus. And that means as we are in church this morning, we can't pray, "Here I am, Lord, send somebody else." We need to pray, "Here I am, Lord, send us." The disciples, if you notice, are in pairs in that little list of them. They're sent together. They go to particular places. They continue the ministry of Jesus. They are not in this for their own gain. They have a clear message and they need to be wise. We see all these things in chapter 10. Now we are given different skills and talents just as they were. In 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul talks about the church as a body. Each part is different, but needs the other. The disciples are sent out in pairs. Might this be Jesus realizing that they need each other's skills? And maybe, more importantly, they need each other's encouragement and support for what is ahead of them. It's the same in the church today. The ministry of the church in witness, in serving, in proclaiming, in prayer, is not only for those with a particular role or title. We are called together. Being part of the church family is not just an invitation to be entertained, to be served, to be kept happy, but it's a call to share together in what God calls us to do. As members of a real family, you know that you have different things that you contribute as part of that family. You have different roles and you work together. when our families are together. I'm often in charge of drinks, and if there is one, the barbecue. But not washing up, and definitely not loading the dishwasher, because I do not do that correctly. The disciples spent time listening to Jesus' teaching at his feet, but they didn't stay at his feet. They were sent. So who might you encourage in working for the kingdom? Who might you partner with to make a difference in our local community? And this sending is to particular places and particular people. As we gather in this place, we receive from God a call to go local first, and then to be mindful of the wider harvest field. As part of the worldwide community of faith, we support our friends in Argentina and in other places through giving and prayer to encourage each community across the world to be a beacon of hope for their community. Because the message is clear if you look down at verse 7. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal those who are ill, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Essentially, model your life, your ministry, on that of the ministry of Jesus. The message is about a kingdom that is not of this world, in which we can find life and hope for the future, as well as a community, a family today. The kingdom has come near because the King has come near. As we meet together, we preach Jesus. In him, we rejoice. We have church structures, we have traditions, we have rituals that can be helpful for us, but only if they point to him. On their own, they will let us down. But Jesus is real as he speaks to his disciples. He knows that it won't be easy all the time. He doesn't say, you'll always have instant success. Crowds will always gather. Even the disciples of Jesus faced opposition. In verse 14, if anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. Jesus says to them, there will be opposition. There'll be people who don't want to listen to you. And there'll be consequences to rejecting the message. Consequences on the day of judgment. That is, Jesus says, there is a time coming when it will be too late to respond to this message, to this good news. Elsewhere in the Bible we read, today is the day of salvation. So there will be opposition. And therefore Jesus cautions his disciples. He says, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves, in verse 16. It is what the commentator Brunner calls the crest of Christian character. The disciples were to model a way of life that was peaceable, non-violent, without force. They're to follow Jesus' example. As O'Donnell writes, be godly, but don't be gullible. Snake smart, but not snake sneaky. They are to be like sheep. They are to be innocent, but they are also to be wise. So what is our motivation? Are we today moved by compassion as we look around us? Do you really believe that your friends and neighbours who don't know Jesus need to hear and respond to his call? We're called to work together in our serving and proclaiming. so that many will come to know the love God has for them and the call on their lives. It was the inventor Thomas Edison who said, "Opportunity is missed by most people because it is dressed in overalls and looks like work." What is it that God is calling us to do as a church, as individuals? We are called together to invite people of all ages to grow in faith, to discover hope, and to serve with love. In the coming months, we'll have the opportunities of Christmas services and events to invite people to. We'll have a short course in the new year that introduces people to Jesus. And we'll have the opportunity to respond to particular needs in our community and our church family. So will you be a kingdom worker? Let's pray. Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Lord God, we thank you that you have called us to know you, to be loved by you, and to serve you. Would you help us to be those who are workers for you in the different harvest fields that you have placed us in? Help us to see as you see. And help us to proclaim in word and deed the glory of the good news. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.